The Curve with Michelle Martin and Bernard Lim replay from Money FM 89.3.
Today, we're shining the spotlight on the fifth most common cancer, which remains the second leading cause of cancer-related deaths worldwide. It is sometimes referred to as the Asian cancer, hepatocellular carcinoma or liver cancer. Every year, 780,000 people are diagnosed with this, and 80% of all such cases, we understand, occur in this region. We're taking a closer look at the trends and, in particular, the treatment options for primary liver cancer. My guest today is a leading expert in the field. You've heard her on Influence before. We're happy to welcome back Dr. Chu Soo Pin, Adjunct Associate Professor at Sing Health Duke NUS Oncology Academic Clinic Program. She's also Adjunct Associate Professor at the Department of Medicine for the Yong Lu Lin Medical School and the Chair of the Clinical Trial Steering Committee at the National Cancer Center. She's also President of the Singapore Society of Oncology and was involved in studies about the first and only effective targeted biologic drug, which forms second-line therapy for the liver cancer that we're talking about today. Dr. Chu, welcome to the program. Now, most of us think of liver cancer in relation to alcohol use, I think. Help us understand what HCC is and whether or not alcohol use is a risk factor.
Oh, yeah, certainly alcohol use is a risk factor. But in Asia, the most common cause of liver cancer is still hepatitis B. And a lot of it's from mum to child transmission. Now, obviously, in places like Singapore, Taiwan, we've had vaccination programs from the point the child's born. So rates of hepatitis B will likely drop in time. Hepatitis C is less common in this part of the world. It's more common in the West as well as Japan. But alcohol-related liver cancers is more common in Europe. And various parts of the world, obviously in Singapore, we do see quite a bit as well, but it's still not the majority. But we are seeing actually a rise in what we call non-alcohol-associated hepatitis, sort of fatty liver kind of associated hepatitis related to obesity and being overweight.
And diabetes?
And diabetes. Diabetes is a risk factor as well.
Yeah. Okay, so why is this such a common cancer? And since it's so common, why is it still so deadly?
It's predominantly in Asia, largely because of what I said, hepatitis B is predominant in this part of the world.
And remind us again the difference between hep B and hep C. So it wants to do with sharing needles.
But generally they're all transmitted from fluids, bodily fluids and blood, okay? The one that you think of with drug use and needles is usually hepatitis C, which we don't see, so it's just not very common in Singapore.
So you were talking about why it's such a common cancer.
It's common in men, more common in men. It's the fifth most common in men. It's not the top cancer, but it's definitely one of the deadliest cancers. And that's because it's very hard to treat liver cancer. We haven't really, till recently, we hadn't made much progress in terms of the treatment of liver cancer. On top of that, we are not just dealing with the cancer alone. We're also dealing with underlying liver that's not functioning very well. And we know all need functioning livers to survive.
Okay. Yeah. Is there a gender difference? You mentioned
Yes. How
prevalent it is among men. But is there a difference between men and women and their likelihood of contracting this?
Men are more likely, like a ratio of about 4:1 compared to women. The exact reasons, we're not entirely clear. There's something to do with, there's suggestions that it may be due to hormones, maybe due to genetics, but we don't really know the exact reason.
Okay, so we hear about cancer all the time that if it is detected early, chances of a cure are better than if detected later.
Yes.
If HCC is detected early, is there you know, hope for a cure?
Yeah, so if detect early means that we can resect the cancer or we can transplant the patient. Then you have a good chance of cure. The cure rate depends on the stage of the cancer, obviously, but across the board, up to about 70% of liver cancers can be cured if you can transplant or resect, depending. If we can't operate on the cancer, then generally speaking, it's not curable. Treatment is just to prolong life, to control the cancer for as long as possible.
Is it true that there are very few effective diagnostic approaches or biomarkers
Well, we have one biomarker. It's alpha-fetoprotein, which is a blood test, but it's not a robust biomarker.
As in to help you detect it early?
Yes. So it's used in patients who are high risk. So we do screen for liver cancer in high-risk patients, not for everybody. Okay, so high risk means like if you have a hepatitis B carrier or hep C carrier, or you have underlying liver cirrhosis from any cause, then we would routinely recommend that you go undergo regular screening, which could be 6 monthly to annual ultrasound scans, as well as a blood test looking at, particularly at the alpha-fetoprotein.
I'm Michelle Martin, and my guest, Dr. Chu Soo Pin. We are discussing liver cancer. Earlier on, we looked at the differences in terms of spread and demographics, why it's called sometimes the Asian cancer. Dr. Soo, I want to talk to you about drugs. Are new drugs in this field significantly improving life expectancy, even for advanced stage liver cancer patients?
Oh, yeah, certainly. So for years, we only had one drug that was approved for use in liver cancer. And since last year, and in Singapore this year, we have a second drug approved in for use for advanced liver cancer. I'm talking about in the advanced stages of liver cancer. And these drugs have been shown to prolong survival significantly. So this year, regorafenib was approved in the second-line setting. That was the first second-line drug to be approved for liver cancer after the first-line. In the first-line, we used sorafenib. I know a bunch of names, but...
With many syllables.
Yes.
So regorafenib, which you were part of trials for,
yes,
is so far, I understand, the first and only effective second-line therapy. Now, what is second-line therapy?
Basically, after the first-line therapy is what's the first drug that we use that's been proven to work. That means if a patient comes with advanced liver cancer, never had any other drugs before, this is the first-line treatment that would be approved. And it's approved because it's shown to have survival benefit. Yeah. So in the second line means that if the first line fails, when sorafenib fails, what else do we have? Then that's when regorafenib comes in.
And you say it's a targeted biologic drug.
Yeah, basically it targets Revmac kinase pathway. It's basically what we call a tyrosine kinase inhibitor.
Okay, and
yes,
in layman's terms,
it basically blocks parts of the cancer pathway.
So that it prevents the spread?
Would then prevent the growth of the cancer.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me, why is it so far the only effective second-line therapy, do you think?
There have been many failures in all the trials. It's not like we haven't been trying. We've been trying for years. This was one of the first to be approved. I think it was the selection of patients was very important in this study, because patients who could tolerate sorafenib then and would then benefit from regorafenib. Basically, you chose the right group of patients.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, according to the International Agency for Research on Cancer, liver cancer remains one of the highest unmet needs in oncology. Why is that?
Because it's a difficult cancer to treat, right? A lot of the times, patients are diagnosed late. And when they're diagnosed late, they are already in liver failure. When they're already in liver failure, no matter how good your drug is, you can't administer a drug because that stresses out the liver, okay? And generally speaking, it's an aggressive cancer. There are no clear biomarkers that help us predict who's going to respond to drug A versus drug B. And it's a complicated cancer.
Are there other treatment options?
There are. As I mentioned last time, we also have immunotherapy options, but not quite approved yet. And then we also have other TKIs that have just shown survival benefit in recent studies.
So what would the options be for a sufferer in Singapore?
It used to be only one option. Now we have six.
Tremendous, tremendous. Yeah. So tell us about the advancement of liver cancer treatments and survival rates of HCC here, therefore.
So our survival rates are no different from the rest of the world. We're not worse off than the rest of the world because we do have access to some of the best medical care. But we are still not curing a lot of patients. I think that's a global problem. It's not just in Singapore.
And can this drug that we're talking about, regorafenib,
yeah,
can it be optimized in terms of treating patients sort of personalized dosing, for example?
Oh, yeah. So it's about knowing how to handle the drugs. So all these drugs may have potential side effects, but if you're experienced enough, you know how to dose reduce or dose down the drugs according to the side effects that the patient has, so that it's manageable and tolerable.
What would you like an individual with liver cancer to take away from where you are now in terms of what we know of this disease?
I think if, you know, liver cancer used to be like a, dare I say it, like a death sentence. I think now things are far more optimistic and there are many more treatment options available, and this should always be explored. And there are many new drugs that are upcoming. Okay.
And available here.
To be available. Yes, some of them are available here in the clinical trial setting. But I think it's optimistic times for liver cancer patients.
That's great to
far
hear.
Far more than ever before.
Yeah. Wonderful to hear. Thank you so much. Yes. Dr. Chu Soo Pin, my guest on Influence, President of the Singapore Society of Oncology, telling us more about liver cancer and treatment options. Thanks for being here.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.